concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Remember I told you last week that sometimes when you say tongues, some folks think they've heard enough of tongues, as though they fall into the stupidity of losing the truth of God's word that they have embraced. 1 Peter chapter 1, read that to you. Or 2 Peter chapter 1, talks about the fact that Peter said that as long as it's in this tabernacle, says it's meet for me to put you in remembrance of the same things, knowing that you have been established in this present truth, and you even know these same things. Philippians 3:1, for me to say the same things to you, to teach you the same things, it's not grievous for you, it is needful. It's necessary to remind ourselves. Besides the fact that in every reminding or reminder of the truth of God's word, we have light. You know, light always comes when we feed on the word. When we meditate upon the word of God, we receive more wisdom on some of those subjects that we meditate upon and get to study. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I'll read verse 4. Now there are diverse of gifts for the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations for the same Lord. And there are diverse of operations, the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now verse 10 is important. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another sign of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all this worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now it says all this from verse 8. It says worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So all this worketh the same Spirit. So we are not going to see tongues and then different from interpretation of tongues and then different from, if we look at gifts more like actions, but they are not actions. Gifts are the workings of the human spirit, the abilities, the resident abilities of the human spirit that is born of God. That's what they are. It's not God, as it were, though we are of God and we come from God and what we have is from God. But it says all this worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we began to look at tongues. And one key thing you need to see about tongues, we said tongues will mean language, dialect, or will mean what? What was the second I said? Huh? Words. Words spoken, or a language and dialect. And we can look at it from the two angles that I've just said. Of course, it's not talking about your physical tongue. You know, your physical tongue is not your tongue. When we say tongue, we're referring to your language. That when you say there are several tongues in Nigeria, you're not referring to the physical organ called tongue. Rather, you're referring to the mode of communication that differ in Nigeria. But you see, we need to come from the beginning, because oftentimes, whenever we speak about tongues, I told you before, I for years used to believe that when somebody speaks in tongues like we do in charismatic and Pentecostal circles and any circle that believe in speaking in tongues anyway, that that fellow is speaking a language somewhere in Europe or somewhere in Southern Asia. I used to think that until, of course, light came and no one could see it, that really, it just didn't make sense. You know, there's nothing supernatural in me being able to speak someone's language that I can easily learn. It's nothing special about it. And of course, if tongues were the language of somebody in Europe, then interpretation of tongues, we just need a linguist that is around and it doesn't follow. But it's because people have lost the meaning of the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 it led to that thinking. But now let's look at tongues, which we did last week. Languages generally. And then we know that in Genesis chapter 1, God made man in his image and after his likeness and asked the man to have dominion in verse 27, multiply in 28. In Genesis chapter 2, he gave the man an instruction in verse 16 not to eat of every tree of the garden you can eat of, but a tree in the midst of the garden, knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of it there, you will die. Genesis chapter 3, we read from verse 1 to verse 4 how the serpent came as the devil and then tempted Eve, and then Adam disobeyed, and then God gave, you know, the consequence of the action. Genesis chapter 4, we see that how Adam, you know, Eve conceived from Adam, of course, and then had two sons. One was Cain, the other was Abel. Then Cain killed Abel. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, we now see the generations of Adam, and then Adam, you know, gave birth to a child by the name Seth. And then we read of different generations up to chapter 6, where God said in from verse 5 to verse 7, that the heart of man is continually evil, that he repented of God, that he made man, that he would destroy man. We read in verse 8, and how God now found a man called Noah. Verse 8 to 10, and then who found grace at the sight of God, and God told him to build an ark, and then he would destroy the earth. We're going somewhere, please. Then verse chapter 7 and chapter 8, we read of the flood. And chapter 8 and 22, as long as this earth remains, seed and harvest shall not cease. And then chapter 10, we see the generation of Noah. But then we get to chapter 11, the days of Peleg, you will now see that the whole earth was with one speech and one language. The whole earth. To many people, it's almost unbelievable, you know, that the whole earth as we are here, I mean, just the English I'm speaking here, some of you are even writing tests of English language and you are failing. You make C4. I mean, you don't know the language well. Even Yoruba language, we are learning it now. You know, you learn it, you mix it up with this language. So, from those days, I mean, that days there was one, you know, speech in the whole earth. It's just one single mode of communication. That shows you that in the beginning, there was just one mode of communication in all the earth. And when what God destined for mankind, you know, was that everybody should have one mode of communication. There was one man that God created, you know, God made every man from one man. And so we have one mode of communication in the whole earth. Just one mode, you know, of communication. Acts 17:26 says he made everybody from one man, one blood. Acts 17:26. So there was one speech in all the earth. You wouldn't say, dog, aja, you know. I mean, one meaning. Everything had one meaning and everything had one interpretation in meaning. But as, you know, just the same way, in Genesis chapter 3, God asks that man should be able to take of the tree of life. In Genesis chapter 11 again, God comes into the picture and says that their speech should be confounded. And that's the beginning of continents and nations. Continents and nations. You can't have a nation that does not have a unique mode of communication. Communication now became a culture. The way you speak, the way you dress, and all that. But language is very key to a nation, to a tribe, to a people. Are you following me? So, that means diversities of tongues came from Genesis 11. Diversities of tongues, different languages, came from Genesis chapter 11. Again, it was a sign of judgment. It was a sign of judgment. Man's multiplicity of languages was a sign of judgment. So the waters divided the earth. You know, instead of the water and the earth being separated, the waters divided the earth. And I thought that in law of Genesis. I will still get on that much later. Now, we know, for instance, that there are two beginnings in humanity. There is the Adam beginning, okay? Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, beginning. And there is the beginning in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Are we together? Behold, all things have become new. So we have two beginnings to deal with. The Adam beginning and then the Christ beginning. Romans 5:12. Through one man sin entered into the world. Romans 5:16 and 17. Through one man righteousness is imparted and imputed. So we have two Adams. 1 Corinthians 15:45-49. The first Adam, the last Adam. The first Adam, the second Adam. So we have two beginnings. And we know that the first Adam, Romans 5:13, was a figure of him that was to come. So we can draw something from the first Adam, which is a unity of speech, mode of communication. And one of the things you are going to know about the first Adam was that at the appearance of the first Adam, languages were never learnt. You don't learn language. It's unique to that. You begin to learn languages much later. So we have two beginnings to deal with. The new creation is a beginning in God. Jesus is the first fruit from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, that should be verse 23, I suppose. First begotten from the dead, Romans 8:29-30. Colossians 1:18, were kind of the apostles of his creature, James 1:18. So clearly, there is a new beginning. 1 Corinthians 15:20, pardon me. There is a new beginning. All things are become new. All things are of God. Hallelujah. Okay. So, what do we have in Christ? Neither Jew nor the non-Jew. Galatians 3:28. But we are all one in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We have been made to drink into one spirit. So, there will be no distinction of tongue and tribe in the new creation. I'll take that again. There will be no distinction of tongue and tribe in the new creation. That means once again, there is a nation that is in all the earth that has one speech and has one tongue. A new nation. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Hallelujah. So there will be no distinction. We'll be found in Christ Jesus. So there will be no distinction of speech. Now, of course, the first Adam was of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven and a life-giving spirit. So, when we refer to the new creation, we're not referring to, you know, just like John 1:13 speaks about Jesus, not born of the will of the blood, not born of, of the flesh, not born of the will of the flesh, not born of, the will of man, not born of blood, but born of God. So we're actually referring to a spiritual entity. So therefore, when we refer to one nation in Christ, we're referring to a spiritual entity. And taking a cue, that entity from Genesis 11 will have one mode of communication. Are we together? If we have one tribe, if it's one nation, we have one mode of communication. So when Jesus spoke in Mark 16 and says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, in verse 16, he that believes not shall be damned, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues, new languages. Now, if you are a Yoruba man and you speak French, that's not a new tongue. Maybe that will have been, shall speak with someone else's language, and there will be no need for that. So there's now one nation with one speech in Christ Jesus. Are we there? All right. Now look at Isaiah's prophecy again. Isaiah 28. Isaiah's prophecy. Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people? Or with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to these people? Now, let me pause and say this. At this point, he's talking to the Jews. Jews were scattered all over the earth. Okay? So, let me leave that. That wouldn't be important now. With stammering lips, and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is a rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. That is, this mode of communication brings rest and refreshing, yet they will not hear, or they will not understand. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Tongues, interpretation, and other things. Let's see the key thing about language. And even things, verse 7, without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sound. Okay? Now, words are sounds. You know, when you are talking, you are making sound. It says, except there's a distinction in sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? How shall it be known except there's a distinction? Now look at verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except you utter by the tongue, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. Now mark that. If you're marking something, mark it in your Bible. Words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Mark this key. It's key in this teaching now. Except you utter with the tongue. With the tongue. It didn't say with tongues. With the tongue. Except you utter with the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. So the key issue in communication is what? To understand what is being said. To understand what is being said. Now back up to verse 2. He that speaks in tongues or in an unknown tongue from those who translate it speaks not unto men. Okay? Are we together? Speaks not unto men. Why? It says, but unto God. For no man understands. Are we there? For no man understands. So that means, when I speak with tongues, it cannot be understood. when I speak with tongues, tongues cannot be understood. He says, no man understands. He didn't say, no man who doesn't know the language. Mm-mm. He says, albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, that takes it out of a human dialect. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And Paul lets you know, verse 14 and 15, that when I speak with tongues, it's my spirit that is praying. So my intellect is not involved. So let's go back a little bit. So the issue with tongues is communication. If I speak with tongues here, I know some of you are word men. Okay, look up. And you assume the unassumable. If I speak with tongues, you don't understand it. I know you can give a Pinchonic, Edenic belief that, a sense, you know, and assume. And because you know Bible, you step out and say something, and everybody believes that you are a word man. So you should get it right. But you see, get it right. Get this, sorry, Claire. No man understands, and you're a man. Paul did say that if he prays in tongues, his own mind is unfruitful. His own mind is unfruitful. If he, Paul, prays in tongues, his own mind is unfruitful. So the issue with tongues is communication. Genesis chapter 42, verse 22-23, we read that last week. How Joseph's brothers wanted to say something that Joseph, they didn't know, of course they didn't know he was their brother. He knew they were his brothers. So they wanted to tell them, so they were not discussing. And they didn't want him to hear, because if he heard what they were saying, literally, how that they had done one evil to their brother, it will compound their problems. So what did they do? They now tried to make it a mystery to him. So they were talking to themselves, you know, and they would just say, you know, this and this and this. And then before you knew it, you know, they just said, well, see, I told you then when you were going to send that guy to Egypt. I told you, this evil is coming on. And he got them. And that helped him, Joseph, because he could see it from their discussions later. Actually, these guys really felt bad for what they had done earlier on. They told them later, I said, don't fear whatever you meant for evil, you know, God did for good and all that. Now, again, we see a case in Daniel chapter 5 where, you know, someone was in many taken of a sin and the whole astrologer said, you understand. And that was judgment. Okay? Judgment was passed, you know, to them in an unknown tongue. They couldn't interpret it. It took a man with the Spirit of God to actually interpret those phrases one after the other. And of course, later on they said it became a mode of communication in language of those days. But that's not where we're going. So, in languages, communication does two things. Communication expresses my mind and intention to someone. And that same communication can hide my mind and my intentions from one who does not understand what I am saying. Let me see how you get that clearly. So it does two things. It takes, I tell somebody what I want to do, and I hide from another what I want to do. Now, let's go to verse 2 again. When I speak with tongues, it says, no man understands. But albeit in the spirit, I speak mysteries. And I have told you last week, understand the difference between mystery and mysteries. Mysteries will involve different elements and subject matters. Mystery is a particular information. The hidden mystery. Colossians 1:25 and 26. Christ is the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Romans 16, verse 25, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which have been kept since the world began. The mystery. Ephesians 1:9. The mystery. But whenever you find mysteries, it involves things, events. And Jesus said to them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So when you find mystery, it's a particular information. But mysteries will now deal with events, places, and things. So, tongues convey events, places, things, intentions, different subject matters. That's why it's, the word mysteries is used for tongues, but the word mystery is used for the word of God, for the plan of redemption, for instance. Information. So let's go back to tongues now. What is it with tongues? We have seen that a new generation, a new creation, has a mode of communication. So it came because of redemption. Mark 16:17. In Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, we see it evident in that new creation. They spoke in other tongues. The word other is etros, something that is different, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what is it about tongues? We're talking about the gifts of God, don't forget. Now, let's go to where Paul elaborates about tongues. And you discover that in 1 Corinthians 14, primarily Paul's examples of tongues was just in two activities. Number one, if I pray in tongues, 14 and 15. If I give thanks in tongues, 16 and 17. So primarily, he was referring to praying and singing. Interestingly, in Acts 2, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. In Acts 10:46, they heard them magnify God. But in Acts 19:6, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. We're going to look at the three in a moment. Now, so Paul's direct explanation of tongues had two activities, to pray and then to sing. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14, we're there already, I think. And I want you to think here, because I actually desire that we think together. I will start from 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands. Of course, take the word him away. No man understands. So it's not about understanding him, it's about understanding what? Eh? Is it about him or the tongues? Good. No man understands tongues. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men. Now why? He said desire spiritual things, but much more that you may prophesy in verse 1. He that prophesies speaks unto who? Eh? To what? Remove the word to. He that prophesies does what? Speaks to men edification, comfort, and exhortation. He speaks to men. He that speaks in tongues speaks to who? Ah. To who? He that prophesies speaks to who? Are we following? Tongues is to who? Prophecy is to who? Men. Now, look at verse 4. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies who? The church. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. So clearly, I mean, if he speaks it and he interprets, the church receives edification. Now, pause and look up. Definitely, Paul's teaching of 1 Corinthians 14 are the activities of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. It never at any point majored on your private life. Are we there? Now, look at verse 6. Now, this is it. If you have to understand this clearly. Now, brethren. Okay? I want us to read 6 together. Let's go. Once you go. Now, brethren. Everybody. That's not everybody now. Oh, yeah. Now, brethren. If I come unto you speaking with tongues. So, stop there. If I come to you. That is, if I, Paul, shall come to you speaking in tongues. Go on. What shall I profit you? Hold on. They are not unbelievers. So he said, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what benefit can you get out of that? Go on. Except by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching. That is, tongues do not profit the church. It will not profit you. Except if I come by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. So we are not supposed to communicate to others in tongues. Whether it's a believer or it's an unbeliever. Let me see if I'm following this. Is it clear to you? We are not to communicate with anybody through tongues. Because tongues cannot be understood. That is why Acts 2 was so clear. What those guys received was not tongues. Okay? Okay. Now, look at 7. Okay, we read 7 earlier. Now, I'll take verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them has communication. That is, all voices have what they mean. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks what? A barbarian. And he that speaks shall be unto me a barbarian. That is, I'll be a foreigner. That's the word barbarian. I'll be a foreigner. We will not understand ourselves. Both the man talking and the man I'm talking to. Verse 12. Even so, as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Therefore, let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. Hold on. When I am in the church, I can only communicate by my understanding. So he says, if I pray in church, in the spirit, in tongues, my spirit prays surely, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding, and also I will sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Now, don't lose this. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, the uninformed? Say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest. For verily thou givest thanks well. Why? Because tongues go to who? Now, when I'm in the church, and I'm speaking to the church, and I'm giving thanks to God, I'm giving thanks to God. But I'm giving thanks to God in a congregational gathering. So he says, how can somebody who occupies the seat of the unlearned say amen and give thanks, though you give thanks well, but the other is what? Not edified. How can you be edified? Prophecy. Now, I want us to read verse 18 and 19 together. Let's go. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Let's take that again. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Of course, this takes it away. It can't be someone's language somewhere. If I say, I thank my God, I say, I speak with many, many tongues more than you all. I speak with tongues because it's referring to a gift of the Spirit. Will they not say you are mad? Now, that means we can come together and have a prayer meeting in tongues. Are you following me? Because when we come together to pray together, we are not praying for somebody. I'm not talking to you. When we come for a prayer meeting and we pray in tongues, I am not talking to somebody. I am talking to God. But when I stand before the church to pray for the church, or pray over the church, or to pray for people, or to lead a song, then I will need to communicate what I am saying to the other person. Are we following this? Okay. Now see this. But if all prophesy, and there comes in, look at how it changes it. If all prophesy, and there comes in one that believes not or unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus has the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. 26. How is it then, brethren? When you come together. Notice what he said. When you come together. This is not your private, you know, devotion. When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So this takes away those who say, when we come together, we don't talk in tongues. And I said, when you come together and you have a tongue. Okay? 27. If any man speaks in tongues. Now, this is where I want you to think. It says, if any man speaks in tongues, of course, take away the unknown. Let it be by two, or at the most by three. And by that cause, and that by cause, and let one interpret. Now, readily, what do you think he's saying? Is he saying, if I have a tongue, and then someone has a tongue. By the time it gets to the third person, let somebody interpret. If that's what he's saying, it looks different. Because in 27, he says, if any man speaks in tongues, let it be by two, or the most by three, and by course, okay? Let one interpret. 28 now says, and this is where I want you to pay attention. If there be no interpreter, let them keep silence. Eh? Let who? Why should it be him? Because 27 seems to suggest that there are three that spoke in tongues. I hope you are getting me. Are you following me? The word 28, if there be no interpreter, actually that word there is interpretation. Okay? Now, let's think now. He says, and if someone is in church, now Paul has said it clearly that you cannot talk to the church with tongues. So he says that if any man speaks in tongues, by two, let it be out, by two, or at the most, three, and by course, and let one interpret. So what is the two, or at the most, three? Is it persons? If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. That means you can in church speak to yourself and to who? And to God. Now, like I said, the word interpretation in verse 28 can mean the interpretation or somebody who is interpreting. So let's leave that hanging for now. So the two or three, is he saying that now Paul has said clearly that you cannot come to church and direct tongues to the church. So what is the two or three? Is it that I'm coming to church to speak in tongues, hoping that somebody will interpret? So if by this I now start, then Kule takes number two, then Emmanuel is number three, then when we don't find anybody interpreting, they will now keep silent. Is that what he's saying? You're all quiet. You guys know tongues now. Acts 19. Acts 2. Is it clear now? Is it saying, he had already said public now that you don't profit the church with tongues. So is he saying that come to church, they speak in tongues, then the second person, then the third person, there's no interpreter, keep silence to yourself and to God. Praise God. Okay. Since you are not ready to think, let me leave that. So, go and think about it. The two or three, is it two people to speak with tongues with me? Or is Paul encouraging somebody to come to church and give tongues and expect others to interpret? He had described that in verse 13 and 14. Let him interpret. You would edify the church, verse 5, until you interpret. I will not come to church with tongues, I rather come to church with interpretation. So would he now down the line say you can come to church with tongues, hoping that somebody should interpret? Let me see if you are getting me here. Alright. So think. Okay? Now, verse 29 now seems to complicate it further. If you have a mindset. Let him keep silence in the church and yet speak unto himself and to God. Why? Because tongues will edify you. Verse 4. Now, look up. The gift ministry is supposed to what? Edify the church. Ministry. The gifts of the Spirit and the ministry gift are to edify the church. They are church focused. So, is tongues a gift to minister? Amen. The silence here I don't like. Is it a gift to minister? I cannot use tongues in church. Is that clear to everybody now? Huh? I cannot use tongues in church. Tongues? Let me help you in thinking. Tongues must be interpreted. It must be interpreted. If tongues are not interpreted, you are speaking into the air. Interestingly, the Pentecostal church of where I was blessed and brought out from, and I'm grateful forever and all that. Someone was asking what denomination I belong to. I said, I'm trying to find out. Really, because of the uniqueness of tongues at that point, because, I mean, the Topeka experience, the Azusa experience and all that, there was a carelessness. Because at the end of the day, you discover that Pentecost Acts 2 has not been reproduced in many places that are Pentecostal. Both the Pentecost example and the Acts 19 example and 10, tongues never was alone. Tongues plus interpretation was clear in Acts 2 because nobody understands tongues understand storms. Are we together here? Then, and somebody said that, you know, someone was asking this, I think it was Kennedy, and I had to scold him, like, try and go and listen to the word again. That maybe the Holy Ghost, hear me, maybe the tongues they spoke. Now, the assumption is that, there's an assumption that says that spoke to all tribes under the earth. Another assumption says that, okay, they gathered together. They were Jews, okay, and they spoke in Jewish tongues. But you now had brothers who were all over the world, who now had understood Arabian, Persian, Median, and those ones now came, who had other languages. The Jews did not, those in Acts 2, the 120, did not understand more languages than the ones they had. That means they were Jews. They only spoke in Jewish tongue. But when the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, their tongues came out as, let's say, Yoruba, let's say, Igbo, let's say, Hausa. So as they were speaking in those different languages, unknown to them, okay, it was the outsiders that had the interpretation of tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. Do you understand that? Do you get it? So it belies the scripture. What happened in Acts 2 was what God said. They will not hear it. They will not understand. But by our interpretation of tongues, which follows the precedent in Acts 10, they spoke with tongues and magnified God. Acts 19, 6, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, pay attention. First Corinthians 12. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? I think it was 2004. I was thinking why 2005. I thought about 97. Why would Paul be saying the same, the same? Now, because most of us are likely to think we have different spirits. And I'll tell you why. You sit here and you say, this is tongues. This is interpretation of tongues. This is prophecy. You know, when we talk like that, we are actually referring to different spirits. Just listen well. And he says that there are diversities of administration for the same Lord. There are operations for the same God which worketh all in all. He now mentions, look at verse 10, kinds of tongues. Now the word kinds and the word diverse are actually from the same root word. Different. Kinds of tongues. Really, when you hear kinds of tongues, there are two things that were well explained. It can't be different tongues. It's a different tongue. One. Two, the other thing that readily comes to mind will be different uses of tongues. So note that. Kinds of tongues. You know that the next verse should have been, if it's kinds of tongues, the next verse, that is kind of tongues referring to different languages, the next verse should be interpretation of different kinds of tongues. He didn't say that. So that will be a translator's impression. Are you thinking? I hope so. Go to verse 28 again. It says, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps governments. Again, it uses variety of tongues. That variety is not variety of languages, rather a variety of a language among languages. Because again, by the time you read verse 30, you all speak with tongues. He didn't say diverse tongues. Do all interpret. So the diversity of tongues is not diversity of the tongues we speak as much as it being different from tongues that humanity speaks. Why? 1 Corinthians 14:2 explains it. No man understands. No man understands. You'll be a foreigner to it. Now, listen carefully. Let's look at gifts of healings generally. The gift of faith is for miracles. And it's for healing. You will see it in operation. When you want to minister to people, it will be as though they are resting on your faith. I'm not explaining that today. I'm just saying something. The sign of spirits, where we see and perceive spirits, also is for the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. You will see in the diversities of the gifts of the Spirit, the essence of one gift will be for the other. It's as though the two must always work together. Now, that will apply with tongues. Tongues must work with interpretation. There cannot be interpretation without tongues. And tongues cannot minister but with interpretation. That is why when Paul said he sat in the church and he mentions diversities of tongues, he explains it in verse 30 as do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Do all interpret. It must be tongues and interpretation of tongues. So the issue will now be this. What then? And that is the curious aspect. What then is the need for tongues? If it will have to be interpretation of tongues. And the minute there's interpretation of tongues, there will be prophecy. Now this will lead me to explain something. In Acts 2, for instance, look up, guys. In Acts 2, look up. Stop writing. In Acts 2, Peter got up and explained the Acts 2 experience, and he says, in the last days, I poured my soul of all flesh. I quoted Acts 2, 17, I mean, Joel 2, 28, and he says, I said, they shall prophesy. And of course, Peter never explains that incident at that point as prophecy, but that was what he said to explain. Now in Acts 10, now Luke is writing, okay? Luke is aware of that. He documented the history. So he goes into chapter 10. At this point, Paul is saved, but he's not found around. He doesn't even have the insight to even explain what's going on. In the house of Cornelius, there's tongues, then magnifying God. Then, in Acts 19, of course, Paul will readily explain to Luke, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Which was the exact thing that happened in chapter 2 and chapter 10. And which Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14. Except you prophesy, it does not edify the church. Except you prophesy, it does not edify the church. Now listen well. And listen to this well. So, we carry these experiences. We look at what Paul is teaching here. And then we know definitely that prophecy is the essence for tongues as a gift of the Spirit. Can we conclude? Good. prophecy is the reason for tongues in the local assembly. Don't see prophecy as, prophecy simply means what is inspired of God that can be understood. Okay? From what Paul explained. It will edify, comfort, and it will exhort. Hold on a bit. And let's look at this. So, it appears that tongues serves a purpose. It serves a purpose that is personal. Strangely, as a gift of the Spirit, that should not be. And then, it serves a purpose that is non-personal. This is what has confused many people. Don't forget the essence of language is to conceal an information, to reveal an information. That's the essence of language and communication. 1 Corinthians 14, 21-23, just note that. To the unbeliever, tongues is a wonder. That wonder is not positive because it's going to call you mad. But it's a wonder. The word wonder is that which, you know, causes you to think. You're amazed. You're wondering. What's this all about? You get it? That's what tongues is. To the unbelieving one. Now, Paul now says that the other is edified. Listen carefully to the word edify and use it in a broad way. He said that when you come around and you thank God, at least you come to church and you thank God, he says, because Ugo does not understand what you have said, he is not edified. So, because how can he say amen at the giving of thanks? He says in verse 17, he says, you have given thanks well, but the other is not what? Edified. You ask a question, can giving thanks to God edify somebody? Praise God. Are we together? Can giving thanks to God build up somebody else? Can it edify somebody? Because it uses praise and prayer. But I said the other person should say amen at your giving of thanks. So the question should now be this. You know, we have a typical Holy Ghost meeting. And then somebody comes out and he gives tongues. Understand? And then, is there Bible for somebody else to interpret tongues that you speak? Amen. Do you have precedence for it? Why are you crying? Is there precedence for it? And somebody can Toby come out now and speak into the air as Paul has taught. And Pastor Wale is so conk in the things of God. He comes out and he interprets Toby's tongue. Is there scripture for that? Did anybody interpret tongues for anyone in Acts 2? Acts 10 and Acts 19. I've not given any answer. I'm only causing you to think. You know, we said tongues, interpretation, and other things. Like I said, at the end you will discover what the other things are. Is there scripture for you to give tongues and someone to interpret? Amen? Because Paul says, pray that you interpret. He didn't pray for an interpreter. Pray that you interpret. Of course, in the prayer, he's talking about prayer. So he said, pray and interpret your tongues. So, now, like I said, I'm causing you to think. Verse chapter 14. Now, had something to our line of thinking. Let the prophets, verse 29, speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. Amen. I want to cause you to think, oh, so that you can think well, oh. Do you know that when you read Greek interlinears of the Bible, most of these things were scattered. They were arranged by translators. Can we read verse 27 like this, assuming it was arranged in the wrong way? If any speaks in tongues, let him interpret. By one, by two, or at most by three. If there be no interpretation, let him keep silent. Does it change the shape of that verse? If we put let one interpret just after it says, let, if any speaks in tongues. Does it change the complexion? You are not even looking at it. Eh? Would it change what is there? We are changing the Bible. Because, listen, Paul is not encouraging tongues publicly without interpretation. Now, look at verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. Let's just take that one together. Let's go. For you may all prophesy. So, do you think, we said you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. You may all prophesy one by one. So, Paul is teaching prophecy. Do we all agree? Eh? Good. Paul is teaching prophecy. He couldn't have been teaching tongues, because tongues must be with interpretation of tongues. So he says in 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. I've asked a question, you are still not answered. I said, is there scripture for somebody to give a tongue, and another person should interpret? I don't know about verse 26, Pastor. When you all come together, he says, each one of you present has a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation, a doctrine, or a psalm. He's not saying each person has one, then you will have used a term, and another has. He didn't say another. He says each one. That means each person has all this with him in the service. That means each person that comes into the service must have this in the service. If he doesn't have it, what is he supposed to do in the service? Keep quiet and talk to himself and to God. Let me see if that's clear to you. Are you sure it's clear? Because it's clear. Just raise hand for everybody. They all speak with tongues. So, you know, like I said, I want you to think. So, can we say that singing and praying in the spirit, okay? Singing and praying in the spirit, and then interpreting it is prophecy. Would that be correct? Don't be too sure. Can I talk in tongues privately? Sure. In fact, Jesus said in prayer, he said, don't pray to be head of men. So that means if you are not praying to be head of men, but to be head of God, you can pray in tongues. But if your prayer is to be head of men, and your singing is to be head of men, it says you must interpret it. Praise God. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15-15, same thing. 1 Corinthians 14:2. And Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words that by my voice I might teach others than 1,000 tongues, 1,000 words in unknown tongues. So let me just get you thinking. Is there scripture to give a tongue in a local assembly and someone interprets? If we say there is, where? What was a tongue for? If we say there is not, okay, and you are here, at what point in life, somebody are giving tongues, and you are stood up to interpret the tongues. Is the gift of interpretation of tongues to interpret the tongues of someone else, or to interpret tongues generally? Amen. Are we together here? Is it to interpret tongues generally? That is, anywhere you hear anybody talking in tongues, you will interpret it. Hallelujah. I'll set you thinking now because I'm closing the moment. I'll give you 2 scenarios to think about. Acts 2 is difficult. You know why? Because Peter spoke in tongues for the first time. But in Acts 10, Peter wasn't speaking in tongues for the first time, so he was present when Cornelius and his household spoke with tongues. And Cornelius and his household spoke with tongues and magnified God. Now that may look somehow, but then you get to Acts 19, and you see that the 12 folks spoke with tongues and prophesied. Nobody did the interpretation for anyone. Praise God. So let me begin to close. So nobody did the interpretation for anyone. It was done by the speaker. But you see, verse 28, is mind intriguing. If there be no interpreter. Is there anybody in the body of Christ called interpreter? Eh? Who? Eh? Who is interpreting? Is there anybody like that? Ayo, you have an answer. Is there anybody like that? Who is called the interpreter? Well, the closest we have in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and then 30, it says some diversities of tongues. And it says, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? In verse 30. That's the closest. So use that as an operation in the church. Speaking with tongues and interpreting. But again, that doesn't separate tongues and interpretation in people. It rather separates tongues and interpretation in operation, not in people. Because over and over, Paul said, whenever Paul talks about tongues to the church, he says, seek to prophesy. Seek to interpret it. He never gives that responsibility to somebody else. Like I said, you know, it's the way the Pentecostal charismatic movement embraced tongues. They always taught tongues without interpretation of tongues. It looked like that one was a special experience from somewhere. But Paul says, all this worketh the one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. Hope you are thinking. Huh? So two things can either happen. It's either the Bible is for you to come out, give tongues and somebody interprets, or if that's not biblical, if it's not precedent in scripture, then would it mean that those who came out to interpret tongues that somebody gave in a public meeting were actually interpreting their own tongues? Amen. Amen. I'm done. Praise God. Let's talk in tongues. Would we be correct to talk in tongues now? Sure. Because we just want to edify ourselves. And we're not expecting anybody to say amen. Except the person talking. Let's stand up. Let's just bless God. We're done. Let's just bless the Lord. Let's just sing in tongues. Just bless the Lord.